So this part of the Bible is Jesus at the well with a woman from Samaria, I believe. All right? And he's talking to her, and they have some discussion beforehand, and then they get into this theological statement that Jesus makes. And it very much ties into the Revelation chapter 4 and 5, which God just keeps putting on my heart over and over. But this certainly goes along with it. So we'll bounce into Revelation again. But this part is actually a great lead-in to that and explains something which is really incredible when you think about it. So John chapter 4, verse 21, it says this: Jesus said to her, this is that Samaritan woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The thing that's at, there are so many things. These couple of verses could be taught in so many different ways. There are so many lessons in this little couple of verses, especially the last few, that we're just gonna pick a little bit because it's too much. It's just overwhelming, the amount of things that are in these couple of verses. And the part of what really spoke to my heart is that God is seeking worshipers. God is seeking worshipers. Think about this: the God who created everything. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills, according to what the psalm says. He's made everything. It's all his. We were made by him. We're his creation. There is nothing that's outside of his control. And yet he seeks something. Yet he's looking for something that apparently he does not have. And he has willfully chosen to not have that because he wants worship to be a voluntary expression of us. He wants worship to come from us normally. He wants it to flow out of us. He doesn't want it to be forced. He could force anything he wants. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That will happen. No questions asked. It's going to happen. But yet, at this time in history, he seeks something. He willingly says, "I won't make it happen. I'm going to give them choice in what they do and how they respond. If they will worship me, if they will not worship me, it's up to them." But he seeks it. He seeks worship. That is an amazing thing. From a person that can have anything he wants, he willingly says, "I won't make it happen. It's their choice." That is a mind-blowing concept. Because we know there are wealthy people, powerful people. Whatever they want, they just get. Whatever they want, they'll do whatever it takes to make sure that they have. Well, God is the most powerful, the most resourced being there is. And yet he says, "I'll wait for them to respond. I'll wait for them to worship. It'll be up to them. It's their choice." And that is an amazing concept. So, what is worship? What is worship? I said it. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I will say it again. what worship means, or what worship, a simple little definition that we can work with. It doesn't cover everything, because worship in itself, it could cover hours and hours and hours of explanation, all different facets, all different nuances of what it means. And you can say, well, what about this verse and what about that verse? And certainly they could all be discussed and all be valid. But for our simple purposes, what worship is just when we give God the glory, the praise, the honor that He deserves. We talk about who He is. We tell Him the wonderful God that He is. In praise, because we call the people who sing and the musicians who give their talents, we call them the worship team, because they lead us in that act of worshiping God, telling God who He is. Remember the song, some of the songs, actually most of the songs that we sang today fall right into that category. We sang that song, Our God, and it talks about who He is. Our God is, we sang another song, Our God is Healer. Telling God who He is. This is worship. And it happens in heaven. It's happening in heaven constantly. It's happening in heaven all the time. In fact, you could go to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 8. And you can see that this kind of worship, extolling God for who He is, holy, 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 all the time. It says this, the four living creatures, each having six wings, don't worry about who they are, were full of eyes all around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy. God, You're holy. God, You're holy. God, You're holy. All the time, day and night. Doesn't stop. Doesn't stop ever. And remember, it's our choice if we worship or not. It's our choice whether we worship or not. Whether we want to or not. God says, okay, you get to choose. You get to make a choice whether you're going to worship Him or not. Amazing that we get to choose that. And it's going on in heaven. And the Bible also tells us in the prayer that Jesus prayed, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Worship in heaven is constant. Worship in heaven is constant. So if His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, worship should be something that's with us all the time. Worship should be something that's with us all the time. On earth as it is in heaven. A lot of people call testimonies, praise reports, because praise is different than worship. Worship is all about who God is. It's all about who God is and telling Him who He is. And praise is all about what He's done. I praise Him today because He was with me. I praise Him today because there's a job that was for Him. I praise Him today because He protected me on the roads. I praise Him today for just so many things, because He's there in the times of need. I praise Him even though it's all difficult. Praise Him anyway. Thank Him anyway. And we see in Revelation that this praise and worship happens in song. Because if you look at Revelation chapter 5, if you look at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, actually verse 8, Revelation 5 verse 8, I know these are a repeat, worthy of repeating. I've been reading these things, literally, I've been reading these two chapters for months, almost every day. There have been a couple of days that I missed, but almost every day for months, because they're so amazing to me. I don't think I've ever done that, but these couple of chapters have just made an incredible impression on my heart. So verse number 8. It says, now when he had taken the scroll, he is Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and nation, every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That's praise. That's worship. That's telling God who he is. You are worthy, Lord. This is what you are, Lord. That's what worship is, telling God of his greatness. You are worthy. Holy, holy, holy. That's who you are. And praise what he's done for us. You've made us kings and priests. You have done this for us. Praise, worship, it's happening all the time in heaven. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. God is seeking worshipers. He's seeking people that will worship him. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking. Will you be one of those that worships all the time? Yes, sure, Sunday, it's great. Maybe in your car you hear a nice song. Will you be a worshiper that's worshiping and available for God to find you and allow worship to rise up through you any time of the day, any time of the night? There's a lot of things that we do, and I want to concentrate a little bit on the music part, because we dedicate a lot of our time in the service to singing. In the singing, we should know what we're doing. We should have an understanding of what we're doing, and many of you, I'm sure, do. But we should understand how it fits into the Bible. The Bible says that God is looking for worshipers. Now, not everything that we sing is worship, because there's different functions for song. Sometimes we see that prayer is or the singing turns out to be a prayer. Remember David and the Psalms? A lot of his Psalms are just straight prayers. God, deliver me from my foes. God, deliver me from my enemies. Here, chief musician, put it to music. Right? You see that at the beginning of the Psalms? You see it all the time? The little inscription, which is given to the chief musician. And David wrote this Psalm. And then we hear him saying, you know, God, deliver me from this. God, help me in this situation. God, I am spent and I don't know what to do. So songs could be prayers as well. Sometimes there are songs which are there to teach us, they were written to teach us like biblical principles. Quite honestly, many songs teach us wrong biblical principles too. They teach us things that aren't in the Bible. So we have to be learned. We have to be understanding of things that are not in the Bible. But yet, because many times people get their theology from songs. There's a song which says that we want, the writer says he wants a mansion, and it's a great song. I like it. I like the tune especially. I sit down at the piano very often, go to that one because I love the tune. He says, I want a small one. I want a little one. I want a small mansion. Why would you want a small mansion? Why would you want eternity just scraping by? Why would you encourage anyone to say they want a small mansion in heaven? You want the biggest one possible. It's eternity. And he says, I'll get a harp and a crown. Well, you could look through the Bible, and there are a couple of times harps are mentioned. But harps are mentioned where the 24 elders are using them and the four living creatures are using them. I don't think anybody here on this earth, or at least not here in this room probably, maybe you're much better, But probably none of us are going to be one of the 24 elders. Let's just face that as a fact. That's probably the case. And then, the other times harps are mentioned in heaven is those who overcome the beast, the Antichrist. I'm not sure when that comes into being, but if you're looking for just a small mansion, probably you're not going to be one that overcomes the beast. But yet we sing songs, and I like the songs. And we get our theology from them very often, and they're not really biblical. So we just have to be careful. And it's definitely not worship. Because it's not talking about who God is. It's not talking about anything about who God is. In heaven, worship is all about God. In heaven, worship is about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. There's no mention at all about who we are and what we've done. Now, singing could just tell a biblical story. We certainly see that a lot. Right? And especially Christmas time is coming up, and so many songs are written about the birth of Christ, and so many songs are written about, you know, the circumstances, the three kings coming, all kinds of things like that, or a little baby in a manger. Yeah, we get it. And they teach us biblical stories, and those there's a point for all that, and there's many other points for singing, but worship should be a big part of it. Because God is seeking worshipers. Not because I say it. Because the Bible says that God is seeking worshipers. He wants people to praise, to glorify Him. This is why, especially in the older times, you would hear people glorifying God in prayer. They're not necessarily praying for the whole congregation or for the whole group, but they're just glorifying God in prayer. That's what happens in chapter number 4. Holy, holy, holy. They're saying this. They're saying it later. They're speaking it. And you hear that. I remember growing up hearing that very often. It would be good to hear it again. It would be good to hear it again. Worship is supposed to be part of us all the time. It would be good to hear it again. But you get to choose. That's the whole point. You get to choose. It's not a matter of personality. It's a matter of you get to choose. You get to make the decision. I will worship or I will abstain from worshiping. We get to choose. And God lets that happen. There doesn't seem to be any, He doesn't seem to have any negative consequences here on this earth for not doing it. In heaven, maybe, I don't know. He'll decide. It will be you are going to do it in heaven. You will worship in heaven. But we get to decide here on earth. It's our choice whether we do that here on earth. I think about, you, and then you wonder, how can angels be saying, holy, 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 just all the time? How's that possible? Don't they get bored? Don't they get tired of doing it? Aren't they kind of like maybe doing it on automatic pilot? You know, just holy, 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 holy. You know, you wonder those things. Or at least I wonder those things. But then I remember on our honeymoon, we kind of splurged a little bit. We took one of those helicopter rides, and it was on Maui. It's a beautiful place, right? Just incredible place. And the helicopter ride takes you to places that no man really goes. There's no roads, there's nothing. They take you into the mountainous areas, they dip down, they show you waterfalls, and unless you're with a helicopter, unless you're with a low-flying plane, man will never see it. And with every turn, you're saying, wow, that's amazing. Wow, that's incredible. Whoa, this is really cool. Wow, this is beautiful. And it makes me wonder. I'm not saying I know, but it's almost, but it seems to be that that's one way that we, that the angels could be saying, holy, 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 constantly. As they see more and more, as God continues to reveal himself over and over, and you say, oh my goodness, is he loving? Wow, that's holy. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize this about him. My goodness, that's amazing. Holy is God. Have you ever been in a place where one testimony after another testimony of God's amazing power happens? And what happens is after you hear one, you say, wow, thank God for that. And then the next one comes, you say, praise God for that. And the next one comes and you glorify him again. What if it's like that? What if it's like that where God is just going to continuously reveal himself in greater and greater measure? And so it will really be this unfolding where we're just constantly amazed by who he is. Holy, holy, holy. Oh my goodness, with that aspect of him, holy, holy, holy. This is amazing. Oh, you're holy God. Just this forever, eternity. What an amazing experience this could be. Not as some of the world says, oh, we're just going to be playing harps. Have you heard that kind of ridiculousness? Oh, we're going to be so bored in heaven. No, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be enthralled. You're going to be, your mind is going to be blown over and over and over. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I'm going to jump back to Revelation 4, verse 9 right now. It says this, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him and who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For you created all things. By your will they exist, and they were created. I want to go back to a couple of words. It says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne. Whenever they give thanks. Whenever they give thanks, whenever they're praising God, you know, thanking God for what he has done, whenever they're praising God, maybe part of what we're going to also see when we get to heaven is how much God has really done for us. Like Lainey was saying, who knows what he was spared from? Who knows? It could have been a disaster. There could have been loss of life, but God spared the whole thing. And this probably happens to us very often, and we walk around like the old Mr. Magoo character and not even know what's going on. We might not even realize that God spared us from something, but maybe in heaven he's going to show us, look at all the things that happen. And when that thanks, When that gets understood by us, because the Bible says all things are going to be known in heaven, we're going to know all things. Hard to imagine another lesson. We're going to know all things, and when we're going to see all the things that God has spared us from, not only we know some of the things that he's done for us, but we're going to know all the things that we've been spared from, all the things that God has done for us, and the thanksgiving will go up. Because we'll say, holy, 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 holy. Look what you've done, God. I didn't realize you did so much for me. I didn't realize you were there. I didn't realize you were there when that guy was going to do something to me. I didn't realize that guy that was crossing me, you know, had these crazy thoughts. I didn't realize that car, I didn't realize all these things, but yet you did all that for me. And from that, we realize that God is the one who does it all. God is the one at the center of it all. And when we realize that the elders have a fascinating response, because what they do is they cast their crowns before the throne. They cast their crowns before the throne. And a crown usually comes because there's something significant that we've done. You know, who we are. And in that moment when we realize, well, look what God has done. God has done all these things. It's not me, it's God. It's not me, it's not because I've done such great things, it's because of God. And then when they realize that, they thank God, and then they say, I don't deserve this crown. It's all Him anyway. It's all Him anyway. I didn't deserve it. He's the one who allowed me to understand this. He's the one who put this together. He's the one who opened that door. He's the one who closed that door. He's the one that allowed me to get a promotion. He's the one that allowed me to have this relationship. He's the one that allowed me to have the kid. He's the one that allowed me. I don't deserve this. I throw it at His feet. It's His. It's His. It's not mine. And they realize that when they're giving praise and honor and thanks to God, that it's really all Him. And it's really not us at all. And this is what happens in heaven. And may it be on earth as it is in heaven. May it start now, rather than start then. May it be something that is with us now. These elders just cast their crowns because they realize, I don't deserve it. And the reason I have it is because of Him. And so I'm going to throw it at His feet. He deserves it. Not about me, it's about Him. And that's what worship is all about. That's what worship is all about. It's not about us. It's about Him. And you say, well, I don't make it about me. Well, in many ways, we do make it about us. We do make it about, I like this kind of music. And I like this kind of, or I don't like this kind of music. And I do like this kind of, I do like this kind of harmony. And I don't like this kind of thing. And I do like this. And I don't like this sound, and I do like that sound, and all that means it's about you. It's not about Him. It's about you. Because if you can't worship, and no matter what the style is, worship is still deserving of God regardless of the style, regardless of what you like, regardless of your preferences. When it becomes about your preferences, then it's about you. When worship reminds you of the past, it's no longer about God. When worship reminds you of your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, whoever, when it reminds you of those things, it's not about God and it's not worship anymore. At least not the worship that's in heaven. When worship is taking your mind to a sentimental place. Oh, it was so nice when I was a child. Oh, it was so nice when I was a teen. Oh, that church that we had back then. Oh, it was a different kind, and it was more full, and it was more that. Oh, okay, all that might be true. All thoughts that take us away from God take and rob God of His worship that He deserves. Because if worship is all about extolling Him for who He is, then anything that takes away from that is taking away from His worship. And that happens very often. That happens very often. And we get to decide whether we do it. And we get to decide whether we withhold. And we get to decide, am I going to worship God despite my hard situation? Despite my difficult circumstances, like that song we sang today, we're going to bless His name in the desert place. We're going to bless His name in the desert place. We get to decide
We get to decide. And so let me also get you to think about something else. Because a lot of times when we come to church, we think that the Word is the most important thing. And it's very important. Very important. It's the Word of God. You cannot minimize it. But the Word is often God giving something back to you. Worship is actually you giving something to God. The word in essence is all about you. And worship is all about God. Worship is all about me giving God glory, me giving something to God, me satisfying something that God seeks. And the Word is basically, okay, help me to know how to handle my life. Help me, maybe give me an answer. Maybe give me a nugget that I could take away and I can implement in my life. Or maybe it's an answer to my prayer. Or maybe it gives me direction. Or maybe it does this, but it's all usually about you. And worship is all about God. There are some people, not here, but I have heard it in the past. Oh, well, we'll get there. We'll get there before the Word. We'll skip worship. It's okay if we get there a little late. It's only worship. Worship is what God seeks. Worship is what God wants. Worship is what God is looking for. Worship is your time to bless God. Worship is your time to say, God, you're worthy. Worship is the time when we give back to God what He deserves. And sure, He'll take care of your needs. He'll feed you. He'll give you direction. Maybe it won't happen as quickly as you want, but He'll take care of that. But worship is deserving of Him regardless of whether you get an answer or whether you don't, or whether you take away something that's meaningful or whether you don't take away something that's meaningful. Worship is for God. And we have made it about us. Worship team, would you come on back up? We're almost done. That is part of what is made clear in heaven. Worship is all about God. It's not about us. It's not about my personality. Well, I'm an introvert. Well, only the extroverts could praise God. Only the extroverts will praise God openly. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. Bible doesn't indicate that at all. In fact, I'll give you like a little introduction to this subject. It's a much bigger subject. Verse 13 of Revelation chapter 5. I read it to you last week. I'll tell you again. Or a couple weeks ago. Revelation 5:13, it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and as such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Everything. That means us. Do you realize that we're in that verse? Do you realize that you're in that verse? Because it includes everybody. It says everyone who's in heaven, everybody who's on the earth, that means everybody who's alive, everybody who's under the earth, all those that are dead. So you're in one of those categories. You're either alive or you're not alive, and you're all alive, so you're in that category. And if we wait 30 or 40 years, then maybe we'll all be in the other category. And some of you young folks, you got a little bit longer. But we're all going to be in that category. And everybody's going to be praising. Everybody's going to be worshiping. In a couple of verses, it says they praise loudly. They didn't hold back. You are going to praise God with a strong voice. You are going to praise God. You are going to bless His name, and it doesn't matter your personality. And it doesn't matter if you don't want to be seen by others. You will do it. You will do it. Because the Bible says you will. Anything else? Anything else? Anything else? There's probably a little bit of me that creeps in.
a little bit of me. I don't want to be, and I don't want to do, and this is not my personality, and this is not what I like, and it's not, I don't feel comfortable. Everything that's in heaven, and everything that's in earth, and everything that's under the earth, and everything that's in the sea, and all that are in them, they all praised God. Everything. Psalmist says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's the Bible. You could be unhappy with me for saying it, but this is the Bible. It's the Bible. And I love you. I'm not saying it because I don't love you. I love you. I want to be in heaven with all of you worshiping loudly to God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to be there in that place, in that scene, seeing this happen, being part of that? I want to warm up here on earth too. I don't want that to be the first time that that happens for me. I want to be part of those who praise God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, here on this earth. And God is seeking that. And we get to choose. You get to choose. Every single one. You get to choose. It's your choice today. It's your choice today. What you want to do. How will you be? Will you be a worshiper? Will you be one that increases your worship? Because we all can increase. We're all worshipers. We all can increase our level of worship to our God too. We can make that commitment in our hearts today to do that, because God is seeking such to worship Him. Worship